From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, March 27th, and here are today's headlines. House Democrats are expected to approve legislation this week that would raise taxes on high earners and corporations. But Republican lawmakers are worried that wealthy Vermonters will flee the state if Democrats enact an income tax hike on residents who make more than $500,000 a year. Republican St. Johnsbury Representative Scott Beck says the proposal threatens to alienate a population that already provides a disproportionate share of overall tax revenues.
And the incentive for people with these high incomes to remain in Vermont really starts to dwindle off. And we can't afford to lose the 1% that pay 35%. In fact, we need more of them.
Democrats say they need to raise revenue this year in order to support new spending on housing, healthcare, and public safety. And they say well-to-do Vermonters are in the best position to absorb a tax increase. The Burlington City Council unanimously approved a rezoning proposal this week that officials say will help create hundreds of new homes. The Queen City will now allow up to two buildings on a single lot within low and medium density zoning areas, that according to 7 Days. And each building will be allowed to have a maximum of 4 units. Under previous zoning rules, these lots could only hold single-family homes, and in some cases, duplexes. The new zoning also allows for larger buildings on low and medium density lots. Critics argued the proposal should undergo further review, considering a new mayor and city council will take office next week. There's also a petition against the proposal with more than 300 signatures. Signers argue the new zoning will worsen stormwater runoff and take up needed parking spaces. House lawmakers yesterday approved legislation making several key changes to the state's cannabis laws. Because the number of people enrolled in the state's medical cannabis program has plummeted since the retail marketplace opened in 2022, the bill allows some existing stores to provide special services and products to medical patients. Virgin's Representative Matt Byrong says the legislation also gives the state's Cannabis Control Board the authority to restrict the overall supply of cannabis.
This sort of dynamic control will fulfill the promise of unrestricted market access with a reliance on small-scale cultivators, while simultaneously not allowing large, well-funded, and capitalized operators to artificially manipulate the wholesale price of cannabis.
The bill also gives towns additional authority to determine where growing sites are located in their communities. There was more action in Montpelier on the drug front as the Vermont Senate yesterday gave its strong support to legislation allowing the state to study the possible health benefits of psilocybin mushrooms and other psychedelic drugs. The possession of such drugs is currently a felony under federal law, but there are studies indicating small amounts of them may be helpful in treating certain mental health conditions, including PTSD, anxiety, and depression. Chittenden Senator Martine Gulick says the bill creates a special therapy advisory working group to study the potential benefits.
Many would argue that these particular substances never should have been designated as Class 1 drugs to begin with, because their power to heal far outweighs their ability to harm, especially when taken therapeutically with a doctor or healthcare practitioner.
The legislation will now be considered by the House. Vermonters working with Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream are sorting out the local impact of a major restructuring plan. Unilever, which owns Ben & Jerry's, announced last week that it will spin off its entire ice cream enterprise, which includes multiple companies. Rooney Castle is president and CEO of Rhino Foods, based in Burlington. They manufacture cookie dough, and Ben & Jerry's is one of their buyers.
This doesn't necessarily mean bad news, because Ben & Jerry's has shown time and time again that regardless of what's going on, they are really true to who they are and what they believe in. We have a very close relationship with them and have seen firsthand the good work that they do. So our job is just to keep making sure we're getting them the cookie dough when they need it.
In announcing the decision, Unilever said it will eliminate 7,500 office jobs globally. Coming up, rising taxes and the cost of fuel lead a woman in Calais to sell off land she's lived on for more than 3 decades. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vida for their support. Vida, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Many Vermont towns have town plans, which lay out visions for towns in 8-year increments. Vermont Public Reporter Erica Heilman went to a recent planning session held by the Calais Town Plan Committee. There, she met Juanita Nunn, who told the meeting attendants she was selling off land a piece at a time and moving into a mobile home behind her farmhouse because she can't keep up with taxes and fuel prices. Erica stopped by to talk with Juanita about the challenges of staying in the home she's been in for 33 years, a home that's been in her late husband's family since 1899.
I have a trailer sitting out behind the house now that I'm going to be moving into in the spring. It will be a lot easier and cheaper to heat. It'll be comfortable. It won't be this house. It'll be very different. For example, that room there is the parlor. It's called the parlor. People have died in there. People have been born in there. It's wonderful. But I can't keep this house going. There's too much that needs done to it. So I'm doing what I have to take care of me is the way I look at it. And I'm not sure how my husband would feel about it. I think he would understand, but he wouldn't be happy. And sometimes it makes me sad. But by selling land, I should have less taxes. And I will have some money to do what I need to move into the trailer.
What's your plan? What are you going to do with the house?
Tear it down gradually, little by little, just because what else can I do with it? You know, someone might like to buy it and fix it up, but they'd be in my front yard. And, you know, and I have had people say to me, well, why don't you sell that and put your house somewhere else on the property? It's like, this is the best spot on the property. And I've just decided I'm taking care of me and I'm keeping the best for me, damn it. Why not?
What have been the financial challenges here? When did they start? What's the story of the difficulty of keeping this place?
Well, there's always been financial challenges, even before my husband died. And then, you know, after he died, the biggest challenge is heat and taxes are the biggest financial challenges that I have had. But, you know, when I'm not stressing about money, I feel like I have a good life. I'm content. It's the issues of how am I going to pay my taxes every year? You never know from year to year what the taxes are going to be. So it makes it very hard to plan.
So at a meeting like that one, or at town meeting, if you express concern about affordability, do you feel like people hear you?
I certainly feel like people would acknowledge it and express sympathy, but nothing would happen. Nothing would change, partly because they don't know what to do, and partly because it's not them. But I don't want a handout, and I'm sure other people don't either. I don't know what the answer is, but something needs to happen, and you need to include people like me in the discussion. Because honestly, when I went to the meeting, the people who were there are who I would have expected to be there. And I knew most of them, and they're wonderful people. I like them. Some of them are friends. But the people who show up at these meetings, they don't have to wonder how they're going to pay their taxes. They've got enough money to do it. And the people who need to be there are the ones who don't have the money or don't know how they're going to get the money. They need to be at these meetings.
You can make it easy to get to a meeting or come to a meeting or whatever.
But people still, they're just people who don't do that. But if you don't find a way to talk with these people who don't participate, nothing is going to improve for them because you don't know what they need what's important to them.
Right, and the comeback to that is, well, then you got to participate.
Well, it's a valid point, but they live in town and they pay taxes too, so they should be taken into account, and you need to do some figure out some way to include those who aren't willing to participate.
Okay, so what is the...
I think the reason they aren't willing to participate is because they think it won't make a damn bit of difference. I think they feel like they're being talked down to. You feel like you're not being heard. Money is power. And people with the money and the power are the one who make the rules. Even in a small town, I think that's true to some extent, at least.
We're talking about a bunch of well-meaning people who are at a meeting about the future of a town. What do they need to do to get a little closer to understanding what it means to be poor?
I think they need to talk to more people. I mean, if you have to, go to people's houses and knock on their door and say, some people will say no and close the door, but I'm sure there are people who would say, like, if someone had did that to me, I would say, oh, come in, yeah, I'd love to talk to you, you know, and say, what could we do in town to make life more affordable so you can stay here where you want to be, where you're from, where I've lived here 33 years. I grew up in Peacham. I want to stay here. I love where I live.
I'm Erica Heilman with Vermont Public.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Adia Golston, Bob Kinzel, and Michaela Lefrak. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.